to get good at something, like, it takes time. Like, you have to put the time in. You have to dedicate time to get better. Like, whether you're playing an instrument, or you're illustrating, or you're a professional athlete, like, you have to practice. Otherwise, you can't just expect to get good overnight. Like, that doesn't happen.
Welcome to the Passion Behind the Art Show. It's all about diving in with individuals to learn the story behind their passion. It's your host, Daryl Pinnock.
All right, today on the show, I just want to welcome a guy that I end up admiring. I got to see him talk at the Creative South, and I got to chat with him briefly. Bob Ewing, I've heard a lot about him from Mike, a good friend of mine, so I'm excited to have him on the Passion Behind the Art show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Honored to be here. So,
yeah. All right. So let's kick it off. How did everything start? The Bob Ewing Enterprise. How did it kick off?
Man, it goes way back.
Gotcha.
It started off kind of slow. And backwards. I kind of started off with going to college for architecture, and thinking I wanted to be an architect, and then kind of realizing about 3.5 years into that I didn't, that's not what I wanted to do, and kind of leaving school and kind of meandering about for a little while doing commercial electric work, and lived in Florida for a stint, doing, you know, trim carpentry and window and door insulation. And then eventually, you know, because of my wife, landing back in Indianapolis, and finally figuring out that, like, design was a thing, and then going to a small Ivy Tech, community college, where I just kind of learned, basically the foundations and the fundamentals of design, and then all the programs. Like, we, you know, I had a page layout class where we learned Quark Express was, not even InDesign, it was Quark Express, and then, you know, typography and Illustrator classes, and then, you know, that just kind of gave me the foundation, and the knowledge of the programs, and then it's, you know, into the kind of real world, where you actually, you know, where the learning is, you know, always happening every day. So
cool. So dibbling and dabbling in design, why did lettering stick? Why did you get into lettering?
Yeah, I think people like Ken Barber, Lou Ritchie, Ryan Hamrick, Eric Marinovich, those guys' work kind of always stuck out to me. It had this kind of handcrafted, handmade feel to it, even though it was digital. And I never, like, didn't understand how they made that or how they did that. And then finally realizing that, like, they're illustrators, essentially, you know, they're drawing it, right. And they start with a sketch and refine and then go to the computer, and kind of realizing, having that realization, and then, realizing that, like, you know, those guys also sucked, at it one day when they first started, and spent a lot of time and dedicated a lot of time to getting better. Every day. And that kind of led to the daily lettering project that I did. I started back in 2013, where I just, you know, kind of made a commitment to letter something every day, whether it was a word or a phrase, and whether I had 5 minutes or, you know, 5 hours to do that. And that kind of changed, that decision to do that, kind of changed everything for me.
Gotcha.
For sure.
So to fast forward a little bit, how, because I was just kind of intrigued in that, how did you end up doing the Creative South logo? How did that come about?
Well, it's a little bit of a story. But so what happened was, in 2014, the first year I went to Creative South, I, you know, about a couple weeks before, I was getting excited about Creative South. I'd never been to a creative conference before. So I hand lettered Creative South. And at the same time, you know, and I posted it on Instagram, just like I did every day I did a lettering piece. But then I was actually starting to, like, vector some of that stuff too. So it just happened that I chose to vector Creative South and then post it on Dribbble. And someone saw it, Matt Helm saw it, and like, kind of pointed out to Mike. And next thing you know, like, Mike gives me a call. And he's like, hey, so-and-so, Matt saw this lettering. Like, I want to put it on a t-shirt. I was like, oh, yeah, cool. I was like, what? He's like, we're going to sell them. And he's like, we'll tell everyone you did it. I'm like, that's fine. Like, I just did it just for the fun of it and just to let the people know I was going. So, yeah, that was like the first one. And then every year after that, I kind of Mike asked me if I would do a t-shirt the next year. That's what happened. So then at that point, you know, I was past a year. I was probably four and some odd days into the lettering. So I decided to do Prairie South again. And then that eventually was a t-shirt design, and we did two colorways, Real Thread printed them, green and an orange version.
Yeah,
I actually did the lettering piece in Kim Barber's workshop, which is like the only, formal training I've ever had with lettering was through Ken, especially at that time at least. So I did it in his workshop and then made a t-shirt out of it. And then the next year, leading up to 2016, Mike was like, hey, I saw a post and it was on there, and I was like, oh, that's cool, he's using it. So I like shot Mike a text, and he was like, oh yeah, just so you know, we're gonna use it as the logo, like we're gonna use Nick Slater's peach, and we're gonna use your script for the logo now. And I was like kind of blown away. He's like, I hope that's cool. I was like, yeah, man, I made it for you guys. That's awesome. Like, so then when I showed up in 2016 and then even this year, like seeing it everywhere is like, it was super surreal and like just an amazing experience, because Career South means so much to me. And to be able to have like created something that is, to help promote it. It's huge for me. So
right.
I love Mike, and yeah, anything I can do to help him out for sure.
Yeah, he's an awesome dude, man. He's an incredible dude.
He's special for sure. Man.
I got a chance to get to hang out with him at a marriage conference, and
nice.
He really hit it off.
Yeah, man. He's one of the best.
Yeah, he's a very rare guy. Rare guy. So. What I know, it hasn't always been easy, right? So what was like the pit or the most struggling part for you in this creative journey?
It's the same struggle that most people have, like that we were just talking about, is that like balance between knowing when to turn it off, and be like spend time with your family. I try not to let anything affect or get in the way of the time I have with my kids.
Right.
And obviously there's conferences and some other things that come up where that like takes away from family time, which is always hard. But I honestly don't do a lot without my family. Outside of those things, I kind of, you know, married to design as well. Right. So I spend a lot of time doing that. So that's the hardest thing. It's just the balance, between those, and it's an ongoing struggle. Like there's no right answer. Some weeks are better than others, but just trying to figure out, like still trying to figure that one out for sure. How do you balance, you know, this like life and personal life with right. also this like inherent need to create all the time, which is like kind of unexplainable, and lots of like people that don't do design or aren't creative like don't understand a lot of the times, like just having this like desire to always be creating something or always needing to be working on something, as an outlet even. So.
So I saw your wife at, Creative South. So I'm guessing like, how was this process of, was she always on board? Was it like a struggle? Like, you know?
Yeah. I mean, she's been my biggest fan and critic, from the get go and always, and that's how like your best friend and your you know, wife should be, you should have that relationship. She keeps me grounded for sure. But she's always like more than supportive, and always has been, going back to when, you know, I moved back from Florida to be with her and like us knowing that we're going to get married and, like deciding to do this like design thing and going to college and supporting me through that. And then, yeah, still to this day. I mean, she runs the house. She takes care of all of us for sure. I mean, it's kind of funny to me. It's not as funny to her anymore. I think she's heard me say it enough, but like that she has three kids and I'm the hardest to take care of, for sure. But There were some times through, there's difficult times just like in everything. Doesn't mean that's just life. It's not, it can't all be, you know, rainbows and sunshine. But especially when I was doing the daily lettering thing, towards the end of it, we had like many conversations about that I was spending too much time on it, and that it was starting to affect our relationship. While it didn't affect my relationship with my kids per se directly, like it was definitely having an effect on us and how our relationship was.
Sounds good. I mean, for me, that's like good to hear, because being married, as you said, being married to design, like we're married to this thing, and it's like it pulls you at all times, most of the time. Yeah. And when you have a spouse, it's tough.
Yeah. Yeah. Like it's not, I don't, it's not something, it's a career or a life choice.
Right.
I feel like, right. I don't see myself retiring ever. Like I hope a lot of the people I look up to were creating their best work when they were, you know, 50, 60, 70 years old, because that they'd put the time in, to become experts, to do in the craft that they dedicate their life to. And like, I see myself on that same path. I don't necessarily, like I always see, unless something changes, like to this day, like I see myself still creating or still wanting to do something creative or drawing, even when I'm older, you know, when you're supposed to be, you know, retired, right, so to speak. So,
so I know you got your wife. So when you, who would you consider your support system? I know we got your wife, but like when you need to draw some energy to pick you up, who would you consider that group of people?
Like family is number one. My wife's always been there. My kids are a huge inspiration to me. And while they're exhausting, they often give you energy. And a lot of time it's like, it's a reprieve from design and a way to like forget it for a little while. But yeah, I'm super inspired by them. My daughter, is always creating, and always drawing, and, her imagination just blows me away. And then outside of that, like, so that's like huge, having a huge like family support, and that goes on to extended, family. My family's always been my mom and dad and my brothers, who've always been super supportive of me, and the bad choices and the good choices I made, even when I was younger. But then I think it's important, like the community that we have here in design is huge. Yeah. And I try and like lean into that as much as possible. Daily I'm talking to someone, about something, whether it's a project they're working on or, a project I'm working on, but getting feedback or just getting that, like, yeah, this is cool. Like keep, you know, a little bit of, you know, kick or, you know, right, inspiration that you need. And that's super valuable.
Gotcha.
To be able to have that community.
So how do you go about building on that? Because yeah, I'm like, for me, I have a podcast. So that's a good entryway for me to get to know people like you and everybody else. But outside of that, like, I'm not 100% certain that I would reach out to Bob Ewing if I didn't have a podcast or if I didn't know Mike actually.
I mean, we're all like, I don't know. That's, I mean, for me, I reached out to people like Ken Barber and Ryan Hamrick, because they were sharing, you know, they're letterers. That's something that I was kind of striving to be, create what they're creating. But then they also teach and share a lot. So they kind of made it like the door cracked open to like, okay, I think I can email them and say, hey, can you give me feedback on this? And then, you know, they responded, and then that just kind of, you know, just asking for it. Like, I mean, all of us are human beings and like, we're just normal people. I mean, I've met many of people that, you know, I looked up to and just like, am kind of always reminded that like, they're just a normal person too, just like I am. They do incredible work. And that's why, you know, we have this tendency to like, you know, we elevate them. But they're just good, you know, normal people, and most people are good and they want to help, help other people and help our design community grow and get better. But I think a lot of the community things is just, yeah, finding something that, you can relate to, that you're both doing. And then that's just the entry point. And then it just kind of, it just kind of goes from there. And conferences are huge. Like Creative South's been huge.
Yeah.
I mean, so many of my closest friends in this, you know, in this community of design are like I met at Creative South throughout the last 4 years. Some of them I've seen every year that I've been there, but some of them I've only seen once. So
cool. Because when I first came to Georgia, and I was just building on, you know, just being in Georgia, I had the opportunity to, I took a chance and I just reached out to Wells. I know you probably know Wells.
Yeah. And Wells is good people.
And he was cool enough to kind of just, you know what I mean, reach back out and kind of just give me some, you know, tips on getting around in the design in Georgia and whatever. And just,
right.
You know, and it was kind of cool because, you know, I didn't expect it, but I was just like, you know, just trying to get some feedback. So, inch by inch.
Yes.
Break that down for me.
Oh, man.
I know it's nonprofit, but break that down for me.
Yeah, so Inch by Inch is a 1-inch monthly button club that's a nonprofit, and our proceeds – sorry, I'm trying to plug my computer in. Our proceeds go to support youth art education. And it was really just kind of born out of so Drew Hill, who I work with and have worked with for 7 years now at two different agencies. It was just kind of born out of us wanting to work together or do something together. Cause while we work in the same building, we didn't get to, you know, work together on a lot of stuff. And it just kind of started with our love for 1-inch buttons and, collecting things. And then this idea that we can, get back. You know, we're both parents. We're both, thinking about the future of our kids, and where they're going to go to school. And, the fact that like art education is being, you know, stripped out of our school systems because of lack of funding, and teachers don't have money for supplies. So it kind of just snowballed over one night over text message. Drew and I were just texting back and forth, and there in Inch by Inch was born over, you know, a short, you know, hour conversation via text. And then we just kind of hit the ground running and started to kind of knock things off the list that we knew we needed to do to make it happen. So
you guys kind of go around and partner with schools and like stuff like that.
So what we do is we support two charities, one here locally called Art with a Heart.
Gotcha.
So even though we're a nonprofit ourselves, basically what that just means is like Drew and I don't make any money off this. Where it's a passion project of ours, everything we donate all of our time. When we go to conferences, if we're not speaking or if I'm not speaking, and then we cover the hotel and the flight and travel, just to try and make sure we're not taking anything away from Inch by Inch, gotcha. So that more money gets to, you know, go to our charities. But
gotcha.
So we support, yeah, to Art with Heart here locally in Indianapolis, and then 826 Shy in Chicago, both serving inner city underserved kids with after school and summer programs. Two fantastic charities last year we donated $5,000 total, so $2,500 each, which doesn't sound like a lot, but when you're like, when $20 will buy art supplies for a whole semester, it goes a long way. And we're on pace to do, you know, that like similar donation this year. We'll actually be announcing that shortly. So,
but that to me, that's a lot because that's like money they didn't have to raise on their own. You know what I mean? That's just extra money coming in for them to help whatever they're trying to do. So it's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy. Like, how did a button club come about though? Like, I would have never thought of that.
Yeah. I mean, it was just one of those things where we realized like, no one is doing this. Like ever, like a monthly button club sounded cool. Like, and then we just kind of realized that there's other things like this, but nothing, there definitely wasn't a 1-inch button club. It sounds, you know, it sounds kind of funny. And, you know, when we're explaining it all the time, sometimes you get some, you know, odd questions or odd looks, but, it's a lot of fun. That's for sure.
So is it like it's subscription based, right?
Yeah. So you buy a yearly subscription. Mm-hmm. It's $50 in the US and $60 internationally. And that's just, shipping is a difference in that cost. And then 65% of that goes to the charities that we support. The other 35% is basically shipping and then packaging and stuff like that. Like I said, Drew and I don't take anything away from this. And the reason we can do that is because of our amazing sponsors. French Paper donates all of our paper and envelopes. Mama Sauce down in Orlando prints our, you know, packaging. Elm 3 hosts and coded our site for us and gives us all kinds of support, which is the agency that Drew and I work for. And then Busy Beaver Buttons at Chicago, they've made every one of our buttons since we started, you know, just over 2 years ago. And then now the amazing folks at Real Thread also are an awesome sponsor of ours. Cool. So outside of the monthly membership, where basically you get three buttons in the mail every, you know, every month, instead of bills or, you know, real estate postcards or whatever, you know, kind of junk comes in the mail these days. We also have a full store, of t-shirts and mini pennants and, patches. And then you can also buy like all the buttons, in our store too. So.
Cool. Cool. So I noticed that you got a pretty good relationship with Mama Sauce and French Paper. Like, how did that happen?
We met on the internet.
Okay.
is the answer. Yeah, Brian and I kind of discovered French Paper early on in my design career, and, you know, just these beautiful kind of colored paper. And then Drew and I made a trip up in Niles to kind of tour the mill. Because it's like 2.5 hours north of us. So not too far away. So we made a trip up there, and that was the first time we met Brian and Jerry. And then just, yeah, just kind of, we became friends, since then, seeing them at, you know, other conferences that we go to. But then also just kind of like supporting them. And then they're like, they support the, like the design community. Their support for the design community is amazing. And then Mama Sauce, I met Nick and a bunch of the crew at Creative South in 2014. We took their workshop, and that was the first time I met Nick. And next thing you know, he was telling me about this new series they're doing called Print Matters, where they like tour and give a talk, and they ask a designer in each city to, you know, design a poster for that event. And it just so happened that the first one was going to be in Indianapolis by chance. And it just happened that I met Nick. You know, cool. Right before, you know, it's at Creative South before that was happening. Like, it's kind of the special, like, why Creative South is so special to me. And then it just kind of snowballed from there. We just became, yeah, over the years, we've become friends. And a lot of that is my support of them. And they're also another company that just supports the design community so well. So.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, I've followed Mama Sauce. So I've never got the opportunity to use them yet, but I love their work. The print, the letterpress is awesome.
Yeah, it's amazing. They do amazing work for sure. Yeah. But yeah, it all started with me just being fans of those two companies and kind of what they do.
Cool. So what's next for Bob Ewing?
Oh man, it's summer, so dial like. I like to say I dial things back some, especially from the spring. The spring was super busy. Yeah. For me, anything like leading up to Creative South is kind of a crazy couple months for sure. And then, so yeah, I dial back a little bit. I have a few freelance projects that I'll be doing this summer. But I really like we, you know, enjoy spending time with the family and getting outside. And then I think this year I'm like kind of focusing on illustration a lot more. That doesn't mean I'm not lettering. I still do lots of lettering. But like trying to like use the kind of skills that I've learned in lettering as far as like drawing again and that confidence to, you know, to explore new things. So like the biggest thing for me is just kind of pushing out of my comfort zone. Gotcha. And trying new styles, trying new pens, new utensils, anything that will, you know, kind of yield a different effect. And I think it was like Timothy Goodman maybe that says like, if you don't like the work you're creating, then change your tool, which is like super true. Right. So I like just recently picked up like parallel pen again, because I haven't in a while, is like just to try something new. And it undoubtedly yields like a completely different style than what, you know, I've kind of fell into doing because I'm comfortable doing it. So awesome. Yeah, just trying to push out of my comfort zone.
Sounds good. So that's kind of like, I seen you did the elephant. Yeah, I seen that today.
Yes, nice. Yeah, so that's like stuff that I never would have created if it hadn't have been like for lettering and kind of the confidence that lettering gave me. Essentially, that's all like letterers are, is you're just illustrating right. Letters. So yeah, I mean, I it's awesome to work at a place where I get to like draw an elephant. This is the third elephant I've drawn. So yeah, I've been there 3 years and I've done an elephant every year. So. It's a lot of fun. So good old AIGA kickball.
It sounds like where you work at kind of give you guys the freedom to kind of do your other stuff outside of.
We have like a core, we have some core values that are very true and kind of set the standard, the tone for the company. A lot of times, I've worked at places that had like, values or a motto. Those didn't necessarily ring true. And I feel like that they do, at Element 3 for sure. And, one of them is just, stay curious. So like anything they're always supporting, anything I do on the outside, to get better, to try new things. So that's huge. Yeah. Their support has been a huge part of my growth over the last 3 years for sure.
So, we're almost at the end, and you have advice for a family man, you have advice for, designers, speaker, like, what advice, I know most people that probably watch it be designers, between designers and musicians, right? What advice would you give a creative?
I mean, a couple things I've learned over the years, and I'm like still learning, but to get good at something, like it takes time. Like you have to put the time in, you have to dedicate time to get better. Like whether you're playing an instrument, or you're illustrating, or you're a professional athlete, like you have to practice. Otherwise you can't just expect to get good overnight. Like that doesn't happen. So you have to put the time in. Also like you can do whatever you want to do, as long as you want to. There's one thing that we can kind of control in life, and that's our effort. So you have the ability to kind of choose your own path, but you just have to put the time in. So, but if you don't want to do it, then it's not gonna happen. For me, the lettering was just kind of that perfect alignment of something I wanted to do, but I'm also like passionate about. So it was just like things aligned at the right time for me.
Awesome. Well, man, I appreciate you coming on. If someone wants to learn more about Bob Ewing, where would they go?
Best thing, I'm on the social medias, at Bob Ewing _, also at Bob Wing _. It's spelled the same. So depending on how you look at it, but yeah. And then on Dribbble, but you can just search Bob Ewing. Luckily, that's not a very common name. So, it's not like Jake Smith. But I'm always on there. Always sharing stuff. So,
Awesome. Well, man, thanks for coming on. Have a blessed night, man.
Yeah, you too.
All right,
for sure. And don't hesitate to reach out.
Oh, for sure.
You just need to chat or talk about something or don't hesitate.
All right, man. Thanks. All right, man.
Have a good night. Thanks. I appreciate it.
You can also keep in touch with me at dpcreates.com. Blessings.